show, and you can bring up whatever you want. The toll-free number, 800-259-9231. That's Sickle CAI toll-free line as we kick off hour number three of the program. It's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
You can join us online. FreeTalkLive.com is the place to go. The features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us. That is FreeTalkLive.com as we go back to the phones and back to Steve in Massachusetts. Now, Steve, you were going to get into an issue about the role of government, so I wanted to make sure you had a chance to get into that without us having to run you off the air towards the end of the second hour.
Well, thanks for letting me stay over the top of the hour. Yeah, to me it's very simple. It's just an issue of the non-aggression principle, which is that no one can initiate the use of force, the threat of force, or fraud against another person or their property.
Right, it seems simple to me, too.
Right, as long as the government abides by the non-aggression principle, I don't have a problem with government. I don't have a problem with government raising money through voluntary methods, like even tolls for roads that the government has built, as long as force is not being used, or a government lottery, any voluntary contributions to government. These things are all fine. It's when the government initiates the use of force or the threat of force against us and our property that we have a problem.
Absolutely.
Well, so I'm just trying to figure out what we – I love the idea of private contract dispute resolution. I think it's great, and arbitrators exist today, and that's all fine. But my question is, don't we need to have an ultimate, legitimate sanctioned authority to do things like deprive criminals of their liberty and put them in jail and detain them from running away? A criminal's not going to agree, you know, a career habitual criminal, a criminal is just an awful person, is not going to agree to, have a private company, arbitrate some criminal dispute. He's opted out of the system, and someone needs to use force against that criminal. Not initiate use of force. The criminal initiated use of force. Someone needs to use force to restrain that criminal in a prison or whatever, and I can't see how that can be done privately. What gives legitimacy to a private company to take away the liberty of an individual even though they have earned the loss of that liberty? Isn't that ultimately the role of the state, as long as it's done without coercive methods, without income taxes and other things that violate the non-aggression?
I was just going to say, I think from the outset, I'm going to work back a little bit with that last bit that you mentioned, and then a few sentences prior to that. I think definitionally, you're at an impasse when you can say that the government can operate without coercing and operate within the non-aggression principle.
Because you have no government.
Exactly.
Well,
if
then
it
we're
does
playing
that
semantics.
And it's voluntary, then it's not government like we were
you
discussing a couple weeks ago.
You could still call it a government if you wanted to, but it really wouldn't be a government in the way we know that governments operate.
No. So that's a bit of a trick. And as you say, you know, couldn't they do this with voluntary contributions and things like that? Again, you're not going to have a government in that case. You have something else. And what it comes down to is this, I think. If you had private institutions that were doing these sorts of things, and they had their own justice systems, which worked in a dynamic, functional way with other justice systems from other private organizations, other private societies, if you had someone who got captured inside one private society, and they had to do something with this guy, they would work out systems with the other private societies. If he came from another private society, they would already have a prior agreement with members from that other private society that in order to interact with each other and facilitate trade, they would have come to agreements that would facilitate a judicial system that could imprison this man, that could defend against this man. And if there were problems between the two or three or four or more, the one that kept having the problems would be dealt with less and less until they were ostracized. So the private societies themselves would have an incentive to have interworking judicial systems, which would allow for extradition, which would allow for arrest, and potentially allow for the killing or the imprisonment of someone from another private society.
Depending on what the individuals who make up that society want.
Right.
I, for instance, would not be interested in living in a place where there were where capital punishment was to be found.
There you go.
While there are plenty of Americans who would be more than happy to live in a place like that.
Right.
So
right.
Would I want to venture into that particular, you know, kill them all town? Heck no, I'll stay away. I won't do business in your town. No
right.
Thanks.
Well, I don't know that it would keep me out, but
just a last follow-up. It just seems to me that it's semantics, whether you call it government or whether you call it a private criminal dispute resolution, it's the same thing. As long as this institution, whatever you want to call it, doesn't violate the non-aggression principle, we all agree, I guess.
Well, but we're still off on something.
I don't think we exactly agree. I do not agree with the non-aggression principle.
Well,
I
think right, because Mark really, thinks it's okay to use force on people.
Hold on just a second. It sounds fabulous and everything,
sicko.
But it's essentially an anarchist pledge.
Stop it, Mark. Don't use that term. You told me you wouldn't use that term.
I said that I wouldn't call you an anarchist.
Well, that's not an anarchist pledge.
A pledge that says that you cannot use coercive force essentially does away with the government, and is a society without a government is an anarchy. Now,
I disagree.
Nope,
I think our Constitution, as it originally was set forth, almost abided by the non-aggression principle.
Right,
that's
it'll
why
do. Absolutely, it'll do, and I agree that I believe that this government, that the Constitution was written by men for the average man to understand. It is not written in some bizarre legalese, and we do not need a Supreme Court to dictate what the Constitution says to us. So, therefore, I think that, a government that abides by the Constitution, as a normal person would read it, not as the Supreme Court has bastardized it, that government would be, if not legitimate, at very least workable.
How about a parting comment that we have an amendment to the Constitution that the government must abide by the non-aggression principle?
Yeah, but I'm pretty strict on my semantics, and that, if that was the case, you wouldn't have a government.
Right.
You would have a private institution.
See,
and
Steve wants this. He wants this overarching ultimate authority that he can look to, right? Because that's what he had originally pointed out. He said, okay, arbitration's cool, but don't we need this overarching authority?
Right.
And in order to have that overarching authority, you have to have a gang using coercive force
with the monopoly on force. See, Steve, this is where
force, but not initiating force.
Yeah, but see, Steve, this is where
they have to initiate their force.
The thing. If they're
how
do they become the authority?
Now, hold on. Steve, if you are going to say that the government could abide by the non-aggression theory, then what that would mean is that they could also not exclude competition, so that you would no longer have, really, as far as the definition goes, government. You would have private institutions competing for certain protective services, and it wouldn't be government. Government has a monopoly on legal use of force.
As soon as the government allows competition in the world of, the American Arbitration Association exists, but we're talking about in criminal matters, right?
Right.
So as soon as the government allows competition for justice in criminal matters, then the government, if it did exist and the bureaucrats that ran it want to continue to make it, continue on with their jobs, they have to find a voluntary way to fund themselves, as Steve is pointing out, and they instantly become just another player in the marketplace. They don't have the authority that they had before because they're no longer using force over others. That's how their authority is created, because you and I can't grant authority to the government. It's not possible. We don't have the authority. Gardner, I don't have authority to rule over your life. Vice versa, you don't have authority to rule over me. Therefore, we cannot take that, since we don't that which we do not have, and grant it to Mark and say, Mark, now we're imbuing you with both of our authorities to rule over us. We don't have the authority to give you in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole concept of government having authority is null and void. Of people giving authority to government, it's fallacious. It's specious. It does not follow. It does not work. Only works because they have guns and they aren't afraid to use them on you. That's how they get their authority.
Right. Here's a tangent, Steve and Ian and Mark. I'd love to present this to you. I was talking with my friend Lisa one time, and she posed this hypothetical. What if you're in a boat, and you know that there's only enough food for one person, and your life depends on you being that one person? Is it acceptable, or do you have a right to push the other person off the boat so that you can survive?
Well, I wouldn't push them off. You can eat them, too.
True. There you go.
Steve, what's your answer? Hold on. Mark.
I'd eat them.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
Now, that's the difference. You need a system that works versus one that's quote-unquote legitimate.
legitimate. Well, then it becomes legitimate at that point, because then it's life or death, right? Because then
person didn't initiate force on you.
That's the thing. You're up against another human being. So what happens there? Nature is pitting you against each other.
It is an excellent question, and let's look at it a little closer coming up here. 800-259-9231, the lifeboat scenario. Enough food for one of you. What do you do? This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves. It is your show. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive, toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com.
One day soon, the U.S. dollar, otherwise known as the Federal Reserve Note, will be recognized in the global marketplace for its intrinsic value. Nothing. On that day, you will be bewildered, angry, and impoverished, or you will be calm, confident, and prosperous. The deciding factor between your two possible futures is what you do in this moment. Go to D2Z.org and learn how to survive and thrive during the U.S. dollar crisis. D2Z.org.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluating. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They've both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
What if I told you that you could put up a brand new building and save up to half the cost and up to half the time as similar conventional construction? It probably sounds too good to be true. Well, just by picking up the phone, I can prove it to you. If you need retail, office, or warehouse space, or if your church or school wants to expand and save money, you need General Steel. Call today, and we'll prove to you that your new building can go up in about half the time, and you'll save up to half the cost. Dial 1-800-330-8794. We'll help you customize your building. You choose the size. You can even add the look of brick, stucco, or stone to achieve the look you want.
If you still think this sounds too good to be true, then pick up the phone and call. The information is free when you call 1-800-330-8794. Call General Steel and find out how you can put up a brand new building in about half the time and save up to half the cost of similar conventional construction. Call now. 1-800-330-8794. 1-800-330-8794.
Government is best, which governs least.
Wake up and smell the fascism.
Being in government means never having to say you're sorry.
What part of unconstitutional do you not understand, George?
In today's world full of tyranny and injustice, sometimes it seems the only thing we still have is our freedom of speech. Exercise your freedom of speech by purchasing your choice of hundreds of different Liberty stickers, from humorous to serious, at LibertyStickers.com. LibertyStickers.com can even customize your own bumper stickers. It's time to stand up for what you believe. Invest in your freedom. Get your stickers at LibertyStickers.com for your family, friends, and community. Go to LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626. And express your freedom of speech today. Call 877-873-9626. That's 877-873-9626.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. You can take control of the airwaves toll-free at 800-259-9231. The SACL CAI toll-free line. It's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site are totally free, so enjoy those on us, including the bulletin board system with over a quarter of a million posts. That's a lot of posts. In fact, Garter Goldsmith has recently joined the fun over at the Free Talk
Indeed.
Live ABS.
Yeah.
Nice to see you posting a bit over there. In fact, it won't take you long to have more posts than Mark, because he's got, what do you have?
I got 100.
Which one? Free Keen?
No, Free Talk Live.
Oh, no, plenty. I have plenty of those.
Yeah, you've been posting more. Right. He's been posting more recently. Right. Anyway, it's free. There's lots to talk about. BBS.freetalklive.com. Get you to it. BBS.freetalklive.com.
Your mattress was likely manufactured using all kinds of disturbing chemicals. Does this bother you? Well, it bothers some scientists, especially in the case of young children. Savvy Rest mattresses are made of 100% natural latex rubber, organic wool, and organic cotton. Try their crib mattresses, too. SavvyRest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of. That's SavvyRest.com.
I like mine.
Yep.
800-259-9231. Back to the lifeboat scenario here. Now, of course, we love a good what-if scenario on Free Talk Live. We love the most extreme, the most absurd, the most ludicrous. And even this one isn't really extreme, absurd, or ludicrous.
Although, if we have trouble with it, we will call it extreme and ludicrous.
Well, we can't talk about that one. We've tried, but...
Well, most of them aren't realistic. You know, most of them aren't realistic. Like, my favorite one of the most extreme ones is, well, if we have private roads, what'll happen if somebody builds roads all around my house and traps me there? You know, that sort of crap. Because people usually have to go to the extreme in order to make some sort of a point against the pro-liberty position.
Yeah.
But now we're talking about the lifeboat scenario, which, you know, has happened from time to time. People go out on cruise ships, and the cruise ship, you know, goes under or whatever, and you end up in a lifeboat.
Give the scenario, Gardner.
Yeah, go ahead and recap it.
Okay, I'm chatting with my friend Lisa. We often get together down at Fee in Irvington, and all, you know, very strong free market people, and we all try to adhere to the non-aggression principle.
Okay.
And so she believes in small government. She does not believe that the free market can handle all of it. She thinks that eventually you would come up with some sort of government eventually anyway, blah, blah. So, okay, fine. So she said, well, think about this. What happens if you're on a lifeboat or you're on the ocean on a boat and it's you and another person and you will die because you only have enough provisions for one person? And you know you will die unless the other person is eliminated.
Well, right. Hold on. And the reason that is unrealistic is because food comes in convenient little bite-sized pieces. So therefore, you could choose to live half as long and both of you could eat.
Right.
So that's
a lot
why
of options.
That's why it's unrealistic. Now, you could assume, you could believe that you will die if you do not, you know, kill the other person, kick them off the boat,
or
whatever it is.
The weight of the boat is such that it's not the boat can't handle all your weight. You know, you're both very heavy people.
Right. There are scenarios, and I would go with your scenario in that, you know, you can believe that you will
No one knows you're out there. There's next to zero chance of someone happening to come along. You've already been out there for long enough to where you've eaten all your food and you're starting to get hungry. You know, what do you do in that particular case? I say you're back in the laws of the jungle, my friend, and at that point, you got to do what you got to do to stay alive.
I would have to agree with my friend Ian here, and I will hope that I'm on the boat with him because I do outweigh him.
Well, there's a lot of interesting factors here because
I have a shiv.
The psychology of subjectivity here is very interesting because you might be certain that your life depends on killing that other individual. You might think that all of the circumstances you've been able to figure out qualitatively and quantitatively point you towards that decision,
mm-hmm.
that you are in the state of the jungle and you have to go and take care of this for your own survival. However, then you can apply that towards other subjective impressions that other people have when they believe that their lives are being threatened by someone else. Now, we certainly know that when someone directly threatens your life with a firearm or other type of weapon, you are certainly justified to defend your life. But what if just the sheer existence of another person makes you believe 100% with 100% conviction or 90 or something percent conviction, enough to convince you to say, I need to eliminate that
person.
Or
you're just crazy.
Even though his actions aren't putting me in danger, his very existence threatens my life. Do you, out of the primacy of existence, have the right to take his or her life? And
You don't ever have the right to do it.
Right.
It's just at that point, kill or be killed.
Right. Supposedly, you have a right to self-defense. In this case, it's perceived self-defense.
Sorry. Doesn't qualify
all
as self-defense.
All of the rights we're talking about apply in, you know, society, where there are certain things that are the right things to do in order to propel society on into the future.
Sure.
In this case, society is gone. In this case, all you have is the society of the two people on the boat. And, you know, while the non-aggression thing to do would be to wait until he decides to try to kill you and then defend yourself and successfully kill your attacker, I don't know. I think it's just a bad situation either way.
But here's another question for you. Are
Because then you get to die alone.
Well, do our visions of the proper role of the rights of the individual within society, are you saying that they don't apply when it comes down to that situation? For example, if we believe that a person has a right to individual liberty and a right to his own life, is that only within society, and does it change then to you have a right to your life and non-aggression, but when you're in that situation of the jungle...
I'm not saying that it's right or wrong, Gardner.
Right.
I'm simply saying I'm not willing to die.
Right, exactly.
That's all.
Well, I think it is within the structures of society and what people are looking for into the future. I want a nice, long life, and I want to be happy, and I want to be comfortable, and I understand that if I grant that also, that ability to everybody else, that they can pursue that in their own lives, and we all leave each other alone, then we can have what we're looking for.
Right.
In the lifeboat, there is no more chance at a long life.
Right.
You know, the best you've got is to get an extra week off of eating someone's entrails, and then you die all alone. I mean, it's just an awful situation to be in.
Life doesn't occur.
And I don't even know
lifeboats.
If that's what I would do necessarily. I don't even know. I was just playing with the scenario
in my head. It's almost like a prisoner's dilemma, because you could say to yourself, okay, I can assume that this other person could logically deduce from this situation that he, too, is going to have to take action against me.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, I know I can
Or you just
predict.
Die together. I mean, that's
right.
Because
typically we say, you know, if you have been threatened, if you perceive a threat against your life, then you have the right to defend yourself within society.
Mm.
This is what we believe.
You could say that you're under threat by being in that situation.
Well, the threat has not
We haven't
not
said
been...
the non-aggression principle in quite some time, so you better just go ahead and spit it out.
Yes, the idea of non-aggression principle is that you will not aggress against someone else. You will only act in defense, and you will only react to aggression. You can preempt it if someone has stated that he has aggressive intent on you. If he is facilitating that, then you can preempt in some cases, but it can only come with an objectifiable statement of intent of aggression by someone else. That's typically the way that it goes.
What would make the situation more interesting is that if you were starving in the lifeboat and you knew that you were going to get assistance 2 weeks later, how long does it normally take to die without food? Like 7 days
or
something like that?
Water goes more quickly, but food, you can last for weeks. Without food.
Is it weeks?
Yeah, you can go 3 weeks without food. You can go 3 days without water, depending on how much direct sunlight.
You're right. Probably would die from lack of water because let's say you're in a lake. You could drink
the
lake water, I guess. But
a gas lake.
trapped in a huge. It's just an absurd situation. What can we do with this? 800-259-9231. Thank goodness we aren't in that situation and we don't have to deal with it. I would hate to be in that position. I don't know. Would it be worse to die a crazy maniac starving and eating on the entrails of your partner, or just die with that person? I don't know. I think it might be better to just die with the other person. You can hold each other. By the way, it's Free Talk Live.
Did you know that we ingest toxins and harsh chemicals every day from the foods and alcohol we consume, the water we drink, and the OTCs and prescription medications we take? Thankfully, our liver neutralizes the effects of these toxins and eliminates them from our bodies before they can do too much damage. The fact is, the liver performs over 500 vital functions in the body, from aiding digestion to removing toxins and maintaining good health. So why not give your liver the help it needs with Live52, the world's best-selling all-natural liver support formula, prescribed by more than 200,000 doctors in over 76 countries. It's backed by more than 300 clinical trials and studies. Live52 is the most researched herbal formula for the liver. So if you want to detoxify and protect the liver, Live52 is for you. Live52 delivers a broad range of health benefits for everyone. To order Live52, visit researchedherbs.com or call 1-800-973-1482. That's researchedherbs.com. Call toll-free 1-800-973-1482 and tell them Alex Jones sent you.
Tired of looking at those same old kitchen cabinets? Now you can update your kitchen with custom cabinet refacing from Sears. Your kitchen can look like new again in about 4 to 6 days without the cost, time, or mess of total remodeling. Call 1-800-300-8069 for a free design consultation. Call right now and ask about our special financing terms. Sears offers over 100 door and drawer combinations to suit any budget and style. And best of all, with Sears, your satisfaction is guaranteed. So call now for a great new look for your kitchen. Call Sears at 1-800-300-8069. Offer ends 9/30/07. Subject to applicant credit worthiness. License number available on request. Not available in all areas. See associate or ask your consultant for written limit. limited warranty details. Isn't it time to give your kitchen a whole new look? Call 1-800-300-8069. Ask about our special financing terms. Don't wait any longer to make your kitchen cabinets like new with Sears Custom Cabinet Refacing. Call today at 1-800-300-8069.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Here are just a few of the benefits associated with Heart and Body Extract. Blood sugar, cholesterol, and circulation levels return to normal. Arteries unclog. Angina is gone in just a few days. Blood pressure goes back to normal. An irregular heartbeat returns to normal. Heart and Body Extract works by making sure your body is in balance naturally with absolutely no negative side effects. Doctors who've tried Heart and Body Extract with their patients are thrilled with the results. Dr. Mark Goodman talks about his experience with a patient of his who started taking Heart and Body Extract.
I have a bad experience with a gentleman who was a colleague of mine for many, many years. And so we got him this product, and he could not walk from his house to the mailbox to get his mail because he had congestive heart failure. And after being on this product for about 4 to 6 weeks, he was able to walk 50 minutes per day. And after 2 months, he was walking up to 3 miles per day.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2 month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online at hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Live, it's your show, and you can take control of the airwaves. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line for you, 800-259-9231. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site we give away, so enjoy those on us, including live streams, broadband version of the show, dial-up version for free, freetalklive.com. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by the Free State Project. It's your only choice for more personal freedom and smaller, less intrusive government. To learn more about joining the Second American Revolution, go to freestateproject.org. That's freestateproject.org. As we go to the phones, we're talking about this absurd scenario, and some people want to comment on it. The lifeboat scenario, where two people, you and someone else, are in a lifeboat, and
somebody's gonna die.
You've run out of food, and no one's expecting to rescue you anytime soon. What do you do? We'll go to Dave in Montana, listening on KGEZ. Hello, Dave.
Hello. I think the scenario addresses the question that the fear of death is the ultimate ruler in this physical world, and the true free person is the one that loses the fear of death for what they believe in, living for something that does that they don't fear death. And a good example is that the soccer team that crashed in the Andes.
Yeah, a lot.
There was one lady that wouldn't eat the dead people, and she died, but she was truly the free one.
Yep.
Because she would not break her belief or her spirit. It divides the physical man from the spirit.
I don't know, those
man.
Other guys are alive.
Dave, I wonder how you taste with Lowry seasoning salt.
Huh? Say again?
I wonder how you taste with Lowry seasoning salt.
I understand what you're saying on that one, Dave. And, she stuck up for her principles and so on. I just
and also it addresses what Ian is talking about, that we are ruled by the gun. Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. You got to lay it
on
the line,
and that's
what.
So you would just
the government
death,
is afraid that the people might get a sense of that again. And you seen it when the guy stood in front of that tank in Tiananmen Square.
Yeah.
You seen it when the WTO protesters stood in front of the cop with them horses stomping on them and the club coming down on their head. And the conservative people are afraid of the globalism now, wouldn't stand behind them people.
Are you saying you would not have eaten the dead bodies in the plane crash situation?
I don't think I would have. I don't think so. I think it separates it. What makes people animal or human being?
Well, it's what makes
people go to war. It's what makes people want to kill or greedy. The greedy little sheep cowards that are afraid of the illegal aliens.
I don't know if I'm greedy because I want to stay alive.
Are going to run right into a trap. That because they're using the illegal immigration just as the war on terror to attack our freedoms. Do you think not that they sent that lady back to Mexico and separated a family? Do you think that karma is going to smile and shine upon a country that invades the sanctity of family?
Well, hopefully karma understands, and Dave, thank you for the call, but hopefully karma understands that the country doesn't act as one, that there are individuals in this country, and we all should be judged based on our individual habits and the things that we do. Gardner, you wanted to make a point, and Dave, while he's a great caller, he has a lot to say, it's very hard to actually make a point with him on the line, so go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, in the case of the book is Piers Paul Reed, I think, wrote the book Alive. He was one of 76 guys, part of the Chilean soccer team, and they were over the Andes. They crashed in, what was it, 1971 or 72 or something like that, and they spent just ages on top of these mountains, and people were searching for them, but they didn't know they were off track, and people died first. You know, they didn't kill these guys.
Right. The bodies they ate were dead, were already corpses.
Right. So that's a matter of religious and personal thoughts, personal conviction regarding.
I'm sure it wasn't easy.
Oh, God, no. I mean, it must be a nightmare. It's unbelievable. But
hunger is the best seasoning,
right,
as
so,
they say.
Yeah, and I sort of understand. I understand what he's saying regarding, you know, a person who's free. But, you know, we're all constrained by certain things, and I happen to have a different opinion. I mean, I would have, if in order to survive, I would have done it.
Absolutely.
And I would have had no problem with somebody else. If I had died, use my proteins. Go ahead.
Yeah, please.
You know?
Do whatever it takes. You know, if I'm dead, you can use whatever part of me you need to. You can stay warm with my corpse if you want to.
I better donate my body to science, but the University of Florida isn't interested in my body. So
let's go to the Bill in New Hampshire. Bill, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian Gardner and Mark.
We're talking cannibalism, all right.
You thought abortion was as low as it could go.
No, I knew it could go much lower. And I just wanted to congratulate Gard on an excellent show today.
Hey, thanks.
You can hear it on the radio, huh?
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Finally get to listen to it. Now up in New Hampshire, I subjected my parents to it.
Gardner's website for the rest of the listeners in across America, his own website is libertyconspiracy.com.
I'm honored to follow up Dave's call. Dave has become one of my favorite callers.
Okay.
I wanted to sort of jump in on the cannibalism thing a little bit.
Yeah. Tear at the flesh. Go ahead.
One of the things, mostly the prohibitions on cannibalism are probably going to be simply because, you know, humans are going to carry pathogens that other humans will pick up, and, you know, pathogens don't jump species easily. So that's generally why people don't eat human flesh.
It's good advice.
I don't know. What is a pathogen? I didn't go to medical school.
Disease. You're less likely to catch a pig disease.
But wait. Hold on. Are we talking about cannibalism, or are we talking about, you know, eating raw flesh? Because I thought that if you cook chicken, you cook out all the bad stuff. That doesn't happen with a human being.
Doesn't happen with all pathogens. You don't always destroy the thing that's going to make you sick, like botulism.
Really? It's like Creutzfeldt-Jakob
toxin. It's not, you know, heat labile.
Right. Like, mad cow disease is the same way. Mad cow is actually a protein, and you can't, no matter what you cook, it acts like a virus, but it's actually a protein.
Yeah, it's still in there.
Yeah, it's right. And
in terms of unraveling the situation, you know, where you're stuck with this other person and you've got, you know, only a limited number of supplies to stay alive, I believe there was a science fiction story. It was either by Frederick Pohl or Larry Niven or something like that. And what actually happens is one of the guys convinces the other guy that, you know, his life is worthless or that the other guy's life is worth more and just, you know, convinces the other guy
to commit
suicide, basically.
Wow.
And just logically goes through it, and the entire process is voluntary, and it's a fascinating read.
That's wild.
That's going to be tough.
It's a little short story, and I highly recommend it if you can find it.
Hey, how do you commit suicide in a lifeboat?
Well, I mean, you know, you could just jump off or something like that.
Yeah, but then you're going to want to swim, and then you have to drown. I mean, drowning yourself has got to be a tough, tough thing to do. Because you've got that natural instinct to breathe.
I guess you could give the other guy consent to, you know, kill you.
Wow, boy, that is just
so
crazy.
Bill, what other things were on your mind tonight?
Well, one of the things is, you know, I'm sitting here with a bunch of Liberty dollars, and I'm trying to, you know, get out of the Federal Reserve note before it completely crashes and is worthless. And one of the practical aspects, you know, is, you know, how do I pay my credit card bill with Liberty dollars?
You can't.
And I'm trying to figure out how to get some sort of a warehouse system, because it's not going to be a bank, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where I can write out some sort of title transfer for my silver and be able to have my credit card company accept that transaction in silver, but at their option, they can redeem and have it, you know, converted over to Federal Reserve notes.
You know,
and that way I can use silver and they can use Federal Reserve notes and there's no...
That's a really fascinating idea, and I almost don't even want to talk about it on the air because I'm already thinking, like, wow, I could make a lot of money on this. Diners Club, the first credit card that started because there were these guys working in Manhattan, and they would go to the same restaurants and frequent them all the time, and they had tabs running in these places, and they said, well, look, you know, sometimes we don't have any cash on us. What if we establish an electronic payment system for all the restaurants, and we all do it? That's how credit cards started. That was the first credit card.
I'd like to hear from some financial experts if there's any out there.
I think it's doable. I think it's doable. I think that it's something that a service that a lot of people are going to want.
Financial experts do not listen to Free Talk Live.
But what we need is somebody with the capital to be able to start up that system.
Thanks for the call, Bill.
Appreciate it. Formaldehyde, boric acid, styrene, butadiene, TDI. These are just some of the chemicals used to make conventional mattresses. Is this what you want to be breathing every night? Scientists worry about these chemicals' effects on the developing brains of children, but they're not good for anybody, especially people with allergies. Latex mattresses made by Savirest are made of natural latex rubber with no off-gassing chemicals, and dust mites can't live in them. Go to Savirest.com and buy a latex mattress today. Savirest.com for the sleep you've been dreaming of. Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning, and the poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now, it's cancer's turn to die with LaceMed Inc.'s patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, call 702-953-0267 or visit www.lasemedinc.com. Call 702-953-0267.
People who use Cartabite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartabite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartabite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartabite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Why continue suffering from pain, illness, and disease when natural health and wellness therapies are within your reach? Hundreds of people report improved health and wellness using Rife frequency technology. In the 1920s, research scientist Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses this same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions. There are no reported side effects. Join others in discovering a return to natural health and wellness. Don't just treat symptoms, eliminate the cause. BioSolutions has over 550 pre-programmed auto sequences for various health conditions and is very easy to use. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free at 866-885-6625. That's 866-885-6625. Once again, that's 866-885-6625 for BioSolutions.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Only moments remain, but just enough time for your call if you make it now at 800-259-9231. This is SACL CAI toll-free line, 1-800-259-9231. It's Ian here with you.
And Guard.
And Mark.
You can join us online, freetalklive.com. You like Free Talk Live, you want to help support the show, we'd like you to be an amplifier. Go to amp.freetalklive.com. You'll learn what it stands for. It's advertise, market, and promote. You'll get the details on how it is the program works. The idea is you send in $3 a month. We take it and turn it around into promoting Free Talk Live, to getting the show on more radio stations across the country and thereby spreading the message of freedom and liberty, or spreading the message of cannibalism. Whatever. you know, we have fun, and if you like the show and you want to help us out, that's a great way to do it. You get some perks, too, like access to the amp-only call-in line, which we're going to right now. So go to amp.freetalklive.com to learn more about the AMP program. And go to Chuck now on the AMP line in Nevada. Hello, Chuck.
Hey, how's it going?
Great. What's on your mind?
Well, I went to a gun show this weekend, and I had a little surprise happen after that was kind of cool.
Okay.
And then I had a quick question for Guard.
Right on. All right, gun show. Go for it.
So, well, with all the talk about guns, I had to, you know, call in and brag about a new gun I got.
What was that?
An AR-15.
Ah.
Ooh.
So that's an M16 that the military carries, but you know, this is this is the civilian version.
Basically, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
Basically,
cool.
Meaning yes or basically no. I don't understand.
So that was the model that was out before the M16, correct?
I'm not too sure. I don't know like a whole heck of a lot about guns. I know how to shoot them, but
okay.
Yeah, I'm sort of in your camp, too. I like guns enough to be able to shoot them and own a couple, but beyond that, I'm no expert. So congratulations on your purchase. What else?
The process was kind of interesting. You know, there wasn't too much government paperwork. I'm a no-government guy, but you know, you go in and you fill out the little, are you addicted to anything? Are you running from the law? Have you done this and that?
Yeah, that's why I would never go to a gun. I mean, I've been to gun shows as a vendor, Libertarian Party, for instance, setting up a Operation Politically Homeless booth, doing politics at a gun show. But I would never purchase anything from a gun show because I like being off the books. Of course, I'm on a radio show talking about my guns. But, you know, in theory at least, I like to be able to buy a gun from a private seller where there's no paperwork and nobody knows who I bought from and nobody knows how much I paid and what I bought and all that sort of thing.
Well, it's kind of interesting in this state. All they do is they run a background check. But the paperwork actually stays with the seller. And
it stays on file so the feds can go and look at it any time they want to.
I didn't really agree with that, but it wasn't too hard to do. It was pretty interesting.
Cool.
But after leaving, I am going out of the parking lot, get in the truck, and start heading off down the road, and there's about 7 or 8 Ron Paul supporters outside.
Super.
I had no idea they're going to be there, just driving by. And
did you give them a honk?
Really think, Yeah, oh yeah, honk, yelling out the window, everything. You know, you got to cheer them on because you know, that helps with the political burnout.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's tough being in there on the street, you know.
And we do want to mention once more, just to reiterate that at this Republican straw poll, the Stratford County Republican gathering picnic that they had on Saturday, I think it was.
Stratford County, New Hampshire.
Yep, they had their straw poll. Ron Paul won handily, beating Mitt Romney by a wide margin. And, of course, Mitt Romney has lots and lots of money.
The same thing happened in Alabama's straw poll as well.
Yeah, and they discounted it.
At first I thought, you know, Ron Paul, yes, he's a great guy. Is he probably going to get elected? No. But you know what? I'm starting to think we have a really, really, really good shot.
Yeah,
it's the best shot ever.
Hope is springing forth for me, I must say.
It's the best shot ever because of a conflagration of several factors, including the Internet. The Internet wasn't here 20 years ago, and so Liberty didn't have a chance. But now, all of a sudden, it's unprecedented what's going on. So what else, sir, what else was on your mind, Chuck?
My question for Gard. Ian, you ask a lot of the time, you know, what was the turning point in our history where we kind of made a mistake? And I guess one could argue the Constitution itself, but I kind of wanted to hear Gard's thoughts on the 14th Amendment and dual citizenship, and, well, I guess just creating citizenship at that point, and what he thought.
Well, you know, you make an excellent point on the 14th Amendment and dual citizenship. Why don't you explicate that or expand upon that so people understand what you're mentioning, and then I'll sort of dive into it.
The basic concept is the 14th Amendment made it so that every person born in a state or any portion of the United States was a United States citizen and a citizen of the state which they were born.
Right, exactly. And prior to that, we had been fairly well known as a group of states that were united. We had citizenship in one state. We were protected by the Constitution of the United States of America. And one of the things that really bothers me about the 14th Amendment is the modern interpretation of it. I'm just going to mention this just briefly. It's a functional thing, and it doesn't really show where exactly we went wrong. But today, the 14th Amendment is interpreted as meaning equal treatment under the law, which shows you how far people have come from the real understanding of what government is supposed to do. Government is formed to protect us and our property from encroachments by others. When we're talking about equal protection, which is the actual wording of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment, it strictly means that state laws that afford protection against encroachments onto our lives and property will be dealt with equally. We will have equal protection under the law. But today they interpret it as meaning equal treatment. And that, I think, is very significant. It shows that people don't understand that government is only there for protection. They think that government is there to do all sorts of other things, like give us things. Equal treatment under the law is not equal protection. They're different. So we should
compared to people. Well, I guess they used to use it for slaves, making slaves from property into someone who actually has rights.
Right. It was, and the 14th Amendment was supposed to really be about you know, blacks and whites and how we would all be protected equally, so that people wouldn't be lynched and things like that. And that, you know, that makes a lot of sense. But it's been interpreted improperly, just like so many other things have been interpreted. Yeah. I don't see that as a major problem within the 14th Amendment, other than the fact that they should have been more explicit, or maybe the Constitution was a mistake and it gave too much power to the federal government. I agree
with
you.
That's what I think.
Right. And I think it's a great point that you make, the distinction between being a state citizen and a federal citizen of the United States of America. And that's something that a lot of people, more conspiratorialists, but a lot of people do bring up that point outside the conspiracy ranks, where they'll say something to the effect of, yeah, you know, that made us corporate citizens of the United States as a corporation.
Yeah, I've read a lot of all that stuff, and I don't believe, well, I don't really need to believe most of it. I don't really care. I don't want anybody telling me what to do.
There you go, Chuck. Thanks for the call, man. Yeah. Appreciate it. 800-259-9231, the SACL CAI toll-free line. You know, the whole concept of a citizen is really important to look at, and most people take it for granted. They presume that, well, I was born here, therefore I'm a citizen, and ta-da! Mm-hmm. Well, but there's more to it than that. If indeed government exists, and if, you know, it was formed for this purpose, to protect life and liberty, if indeed government exists for that purpose, then there has to be some sort of an agreement, right? There has to be an agreement between you and the government, because otherwise it's completely illegitimate.
Right.
And so the agreement presumably is that the citizens agree to be, they agree to a duty of allegiance to the government, like, I will do as you say, if you protect me. That's the reciprocal end, right? Yeah. I'll do as you say, provided you are indeed protecting me. And so what we've got today is a situation where the government deems us all as citizens. You're a citizen, and you've been born here, so therefore you're a citizen. And those immigrants, they want to come here and be citizens too. So citizenship is like this great thing that people want in America, and they feel proud of. But what they don't understand is that they've been ripped off. See, the deal has been broken. If there ever was a deal, and there may have been, maybe, you know, in the late 1700s, maybe there was a deal. But now there's not, because the Supreme Court has ruled time and time again that the government has no duty whatsoever, no obligation to protect you. Those police
now,
that you see around, obligation to save you.
Now, imagine for a second if you could hold the police responsible for somebody breaking into your house and stealing your stuff, or somebody beating you up on the street corner. I mean, you likely would be able to, if you hired security guards to guard your house and somebody came in and beat you up, you would likely have some kind of case against them in a court of law, but not police, because they have no obligation to protect you.
That's truly remarkable.
And the Supreme Court reaffirms it again and again. They reaffirmed it just this past, I think it was earlier this year, in a series of cases. It was one of those cases where they just, you know, put out the opinion again. No obligation to protect. So if there's no obligation to protect, there's no standing agreement between you and the state. Therefore, there's no such thing as a citizen. The whole thing is the wool being pulled over your eyes. The whole thing is a scam to get you to believe in these false concepts. They don't exist. So if there was a deal at one time, the government's broken the deal.
Can you imagine if a private company had done something like that, they'd be out of business.
Well, yeah.
They'd be sued for fraud.
Sure, if you had a private protection agency that said that they were going to protect your person and your property, and they didn't, you'd have a contract violation.
Absolutely.
But with the government, you don't have that contract. I'm just talking about the definition of citizen. Go and look it up in a law dictionary, okay? If you don't believe me, go and look up what it stands for. That's the only place you can even look to is the law dictionaries to say, oh, that's what citizen means. But there never really was an agreement. You never really even signed it in the first place. And no, your parents can't sign the agreement for you when they get your Social Security.
When they put your little foot stamp on the birth certificate or whatever.
Doesn't work that way. I mean, the government doesn't honor any other contracts you sign under 18. Why the hell should they honor that one? It's been Ian here with you.
And Garn.
And Mark.
We will join you again tomorrow night, and you can join us online in the meantime at freetalklive.com.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president, a serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage, if you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple, more of the same or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, libertarian for president. I approved of this message.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Want to know?